I heard El Toshin Ayin Test, that Nigin, yeah. And the Avoid Nigin, but I know the other Nigunim is supposed to be the Nusach, it's just the Nusach. He's something Ramshah.
When's he coming to Ash? When's he coming? Yeah.
Go to my page Ayin Hay in Tal Lechayim. We're up to right after it says 20, Bederech Amitis, on the bottom of the page. I was going to do the note, but it's a little bit, it goes into a certain complication. Or as HaKadosh, it's going to take us too far off, away. So let's stick to the Perek. We learned last week that there are two Mashalim that we could be, that can be used to understand the relationship between Kodesh and Chol. And as we've been learning from the beginning of the Sefer, this is what's happening now. Thank you. This is what's happening now at this time of the Pekida moving into the Zechira, where we shouldn't look at these two as separate mitzvahs, but rather the Zechira is the neshama of the Pekida, and the Kedusha Kodesh is the neshama of the Chol. Now, there are two ways of looking at it. The first way we saw, what the Chalban brings, is one can look at physical, at mundane reality, and Kodesh and Kedusha, with a marshal of being like two trees, two different types of trees, or two trees in a field, and each one is growing and developing on the cheshbon of the other one, because they're yonek from the earth. Each one is on the cheshbon of the other. If something happens, if one is ruined, the other one is built. If one is built, the other one is ruined. And throughout history, that's generally how Kodesh and Chol were seen, as two worlds that were competing for the attention of a Jew. Is this person going to be a person that identifies himself more with Kedusha, or is he a person that identifies himself more with Chol? And each one of those was competing for the attention of this Jew. Would he be somebody that's more involved in work and physical things? And if that's the case, that's on the cheshbon of his ruchnius. If he's somebody that's an ish ruach, so then that ish ruach was naturally throughout Gaulus seen as a person who was removed from this world, who was not connected to the world, who detached himself from the world to whatever degree was possible. Different thing. So that's the marshal of the two trees in the field that are vying for the yanika, for the koach of the earth that they're growing in. And it's almost as if we have the famous marshal of Chazal that Rashi brings down, that when Rome is built, Yerushalayim can't be built. And when Yerushalayim is built, Rome can't be built. And you'll actually find such lashonis in the Rishonim, that when the guf, I mentioned the Chavos Levavos, that when the guf is doing well, it's a sign that the neshama is losing, is no good. And if the neshama is strong, then it's a sign that the guf has been defeated. So there's a war between the neshama and the guf. That has been the mahalach of Galus. What the Chalban is explaining, and these are still all the yesaidis, the shirashim, what we're going to be learning throughout the sefer, what the Chalban is explaining is that all of this was the mahalach until the end of time. The ultimate tachlis, as we've been talking about so much, is not the disappearance of the guf. I have a good collection. Thank you. Is not the disappearance of the guf, but neshama beguf, that the guf is completely enlivened and excited with the presence of the neshama, and the neshama doesn't look at the guf as an enemy. The neshama looks at the guf as a basis, as a basis, as a world through which it can operate, it can work, because the tachas of creation is that Hashem wants to be, the Shekhinah wants to be in this world. So that's the second marshal, not of the trees that are growing in the field, each one drawing from the lifeline of the other, but rather the marshal of the neshama and the guf. That when the guf is strong, the neshama is strong. When the neshama is strong, the guf is strong. When things are, that's what we're going to learn in the next parak, when there's a clear distinction between the two, then one gives to the other, and one draws and from the other, chizik, and helps the other. Not that they're destroying each other. It's not Yushalayim versus Rome, the neshama and the guf. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is tchias ameisim. And tchias ameisim means that Yushalayim and Rome, so to speak, the neshama and the guf, are best friends. It's not a milchama. The war is over. The end of the war of history is not just like when you have the Svarim bring, when you have a war between two countries. The greatest simon of victory is not that the enemy has been obliterated and destroyed. So now you have what? You have you destroy the people and you burned their cities and there's nothing left. The tachlis is that the one who is victorious takes over is kovesh, the enemy, right? And now has all of that manpower, has all of the cities, has all of the technology. It's not a destruction of, it's a takeover. The tachlis is that the neshama will take over the guf. Not that the neshama destroys the guf, but throughout time, throughout history, it was that type of relationship. It's this town's not big enough for the two of us. It's either me or you. It's either Yerushalayim or Rome. It's either the neshama or the guf. And each person had to make up his mind. Like, am I an ish neshama? Or am I an ish magushim? Am I a magushim diga person? An ish adama? Like it says by Noach, right? An ish adama? Or am I a very gentle and delicate and esoteric type of a person who is an ish neshama? Neither one of those are the tachlis. Not the yeshuv, the old yeshuv in Yerushalayim that's dependent upon money coming in from chutz laretz, and they sit all day locked up and they never go outside and they have removed themselves entirely from this world. And not the secular farmers that are on some kibbutz eating chazer on Yom Kippur. This one's not the tachlis, that's obvious. Kibbutz is not the tachlis. But the one is also not the tachlis. There are yichidei school in Am Yisrael, we had kahanim. There's a place in the Beis HaMikdash. Even in the Beis HaMikdash was a place where the world, the Olam HaGashmi was lifted up to a higher place. It wasn't a place of fasting and sigufim and so on. It was a place of lifting up the world. So the Alter Rebbe explains the whole idea of the Mishkan in such a way, in Torah Or, and there's all of us swarm. So this is the main change that's taking place now, as we draw closer to the end of time, and we're struggling with this because we're not used to it. We're used to seeing these two as enemies, not to see them as shutfim, working as shutfus. We're not used to seeing that, and each one is always suspicious of the other. The very, very, very frum, the Anshei Kodesh, are very suspicious of the working class, and the working class is very, very suspicious of the people who are sitting and learning all day. It's like this. Each one looks at the other one as not doing the right thing. That's not going to be. At the end, it's a complete and total shutfus of the two. So let's finish the parak. V'derech amitis u'nechonezu. Now this shutfus, this is what this whole parak is about. This integration of body and soul, of kodesh and chol. This is something that one learns really only when you're mamik in Rosei Torah, in the secrets of Torah, in Pnimis of Torah. In the Niglas of Torah, this is not something, in the revealed part of Torah, this is not something which is really part of the conversation or the discussion. Only in Rosei Torah. And therefore, one of the greatest preparations, if not the greatest preparation of all, for the coming of Mashiach, and to bring that, the coming of Mashiach, is learning Rosei Torah, is learning Pnimiyas Torah. That's what we're doing now. is learning Rosei Torah. Each person on his level and her own level to learn Rosei Torah. Rosei Torah contains within it the ultimate tachlis of Tchias HaMeisim, the or of the guf, as opposed to the or of Ayin Vav Resh, of physical skin, we'll see in a minute, the light of the neshama as it illuminates the guf. So, b'derech hamit is nechon nezu, hamis beheres v'pnimis haTorah, in this true way that is illuminated, that is clarified in pnimis haTorah, hakodesh v'achol omdim shneim b'meloi shechlulam v'kocham. Kodesh v'chol are able to exist, both of them are able to exist with all of their strength. With all of their strength. Because it's obvious that Gashmis without Ruchni is empty, is nothing. On the other hand, Ruchni without Gashmis, we'll talk more about, is not a tachlis, is not being poel in the world. It's not changing anything in the world. It's both. So through this relationship that is revealed in Pnimius HaTorah, HaKodesh V'Chol Omdim Shneim B'Mlo Shechlulam V'Koicham. Lozubul V'ad, it's a mistake in the print, it says Shin Lamed by you? It's supposed to say, V'Lobul V'ad Shalom Achlishim Zezah. Shalom Achlishim Zezah. Not only are they not weakening one the other, Ela Adrab, Mechazkim Echad Eschaveru. Each one is strengthening the other. The yachdav, and only together, the neshama and the guf, together, kodesh, the holy and the chol, that which is chol, only together, and the mundane, the yachdav mahavim hofas chayim shlema, only together can they bring about the appearance of perfected life. Shel nishmas Knesset Yisrael, the soul of Knesset Yisrael, begufa halu'umi ha'ashir, in the healthy and wealthy physical body of a nation. Of a nation, as we've learned, and we were learning in Rav Kook last year, and this year as well. With an economy, with an army, with everything that is part of building a healthy nation. Hachach mikol ha'umais, the nation that is the wisest of all. V'amifutach mikol ha'mamatzas, and the one that is most developed from all others, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. K'mayish anaroim shiruach musa. We see this, how each one benefits the other. We could see this in a very simple way. K'mayish anaroim shiruach musa v'tzedek mechoneinis achevra v'hamischar. That when you have a place in the world where there's a very strong ruach of musa and tzedek, in a normal, healthy way, not like I'm not talking about Nancy Pelosi, you understand, that when you have a place where the ruach of Musa and Tzedek is very strong, Musa and Tzedek, a deeply moral place, a place filled with emes, a real, real justice, morality, that's mechonen sachevra v'amischa, that establishes the society and it establishes the economy as well. Because the economy, Sof Kol Sof, is based upon Musa. Throughout all of history, the Middle Ages, and to this day, in a significant part of the world, those places where there's no Musa and there's no tzaddik, like in the Arabian Peninsula, for instance, or in most of Africa, and many places in South America as well, where there's no Musa and there's no tzedek, the whole country is a mess. Everything is a mess. The roads are a mess. The whole economic infrastructure is in ruins. Everything is just a total wreck. You could ask Akasha, why is that? Sof Kol Sof, Musa and tzedek is an inyan of what? Of ruach, you know, it's a neshamadik thing. Musa, morality, ethics is an inyan of the neshama. It's an inyan of the ruach, of the spirit. The roads and the economy is an inyan of the guf, of the body. So why is it that Davke there's this deep relationship between the two? And what's happened in our country here in America, which we all have a tremendous hakaras hatov and we love this country, that what's happened here over a couple hundred years, that the rest of the world, thousands of years, we're not able to bring about, that America in a short time, America is a baby compared to the rest of the world, and this country was inhabited by savages until a relatively short time ago, and look what's happened here in such a short time. But why is that? I mean, it's a kasha. What's the rest of the world? What's going for thousands of years? How come America has pulled so far ahead? Why is that? And the Teretz, according to this way of understanding, the Teretz is that the founding fathers of this country, who were very, very chashuv people, that the founding fathers of this country built this country upon the yesodos of Tanakh. I don't know if there's any other way to put it. It's built upon the yesodos of Tanakh. Did they include some of the Avodah Zarah that they have in the New Testament? Yeah, the New Testament is only Genevis from the Old Testament with some strange mix of paganism. So, but the bottom line is that the vision that those people had, the Washington and Jefferson and Monroe, you know, all the guys on the bills, the great vision that they had was a vision of morality, of righteousness, of justice, of even belief in God. That was the basis of the whole yisod of America. So why? What does it have to do with technology and with roads and building cities? But you see, there is a deep connection. And when you're in a place without a strong yisod in Musar, Ish Esrayu, what does it say in Pirkei Avos? Ish Esrayu, Chayim Bolo. Each one swallows up the life of the other. Each one swallows up the life of the other. Now, Russia was an interesting experiment. With what happened with Marx, Engels, and then with Lenin, was an interesting experiment. It was a perverted anti-Tanakh yisod of morality that excited a lot of the world, and the whole thing was a complete and total failure. Because the shoresh of communism of socialism, Bernie Sanders also, since I'm talking about some of the people that are trying to be president of this country, the yisod was a perversion of Musa. It was came out an anti-Musa. It was a Musa that it gave the impression that its concern was for equality and fairness, but the underlying shoresh was complete corruption and perversion of all the yisodos of Tanakh and all of Musa. Communism was doomed to fail. Socialism was doomed to fail. And that's what you see. That's why, it's not to mention names of people who are not in a world of Kedusha, but you see that the left wing, they espouse a certain Musa, but that very same left wing is the shares of all that is anti-Musa in America. All that is the opposite of Musa in America. And from there comes a complete and total chorm. If this old Jew Bernie Sanders would be president, so it's on a chorm, mamish. A chorm. The only reason it wouldn't be a complete and total chorm is because Sofkosov, it's America, so we have checks and balances, and he'd only be able to destroy so much before the, you know, people have had it. But can you imagine what would be a chorm of a man if socialism? Socialism has never succeeded. It's never succeeded. Europe is verfallen. Socialism has never succeeded. Communism has never succeeded. It's destroyed millions and millions and hundreds of millions of lives. Hundreds of millions of people were murdered. The shame, that union of communism, murdered. Where's all the morality? Where was the morality of Joseph Stalin, Yimach Shemo V'zichro? Where was the morality of communism? And of modern communism in China and North Korea? Where's the morality? And take a look at the Bechlal at North Korea. North Korea is a chum. And in many ways, Russia is as well. The only reason that Russia, in certain ways, is doing much better now is because of the end of communism. But during the time of communism, it's a chum. not just the churban mitzad the musa. The gashmis is a churban. The gashmis is a churban. So now you have a couple of nice hotels in Uman. The Olam is going to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. They have a couple of nice hotels. So who built those hotels? The communists built the hotels. You want to see what the communists built? Take a trip down like downtown Kiev. I'm not talking about Kiev from 200 years ago. They have some beautiful buildings. I'm talking about the Kiev from the communists. One gray, miserable building after the other, with laundry lines outside where everybody that's in the building wants to hang themselves on the laundry line. That's what they did, the communists. That's what they accomplished. But it was all with a certain musa. What's the musa? The musa is, we're all the same. That's not the musa of Tanakh. We're all the same. America's a baby, and with the musa of Tanakh, made such a place like this. A murdic place like America. With it, of course, it's not Kedusha, so it's there are many, many failings and faults, but it's Gevaldik, America. It's an interesting thing. So he says, look, K'mayshon Aram, Sheruach musa v'tzedek mechonin sechevra v'mischa. Where you have a ruach of musar, in other words, a ruach of musar means where there's a neshama, where the neshama is healthy. So it's amazing. It's mechoninus a chevra v'mischar. It establishes society. Chevra means society, and mischar means the economy. Mashrin ne'imus biyachasim hanoishim. It brings about a certain ne'imus, a pleasantness, in the relationship between people. When you have that ni'imus, because the society is based upon what? On Musa and Tzedek. So when you have the ni'imus, people cooperate with each other. They work with each other. They help each other. They do with each other and for each other, which is what America was all about. That type of cooperation, that type of society. So Sanders says that every single person in America should have free health care. Every single person in America should have free health care. What's the name? The lady that said she was an Indian, I forgot. Warren. So she's also singing this niggun also. So I'm not so up on this stuff. It's not like it's time to be Isaac in these things. But you understand with their klal, that this is what they're talking about. So here you have again, it has a demus of Musa, right? Because it says that every single person should have free health care. It means no matter who, no matter if this person contributes or doesn't contribute. The same people say that every single immigrant should get a big baruch haba and you should build them a place in Scarsdale, right? As long as it's not in their neighborhood and they live on the other side. Everybody should get a big baruch haba. Health care for everybody. Every single person who wants to come to America, come in. So it has a demus of Musa v'tzedek. And were America to say that no person could ever come to this country, that would be terrible. That's not America. But the opposite way, to say that every single person should come in, and they speak ki'ilu, these are the Bali Musa. These are the Bali Musa. You see now that like this is a frum guy, he's very famous now, Ben Shapiro. You heard of him?
Yeah.
So this Ben, he's smart, very, very smart. I heard him two times. My wife likes to listen to some of his schmoozing. He's a very bright fellow. And he goes with a yarmulke everywhere, you know that? Mm-hmm. He wears a yarmulke wherever he goes. He has to have bodyguards. Wherever he goes, he has bodyguards. Because his life is threatened. By who? By the Bernie Chever and by Elizabeth Warren's Chever, who are such nice people. They want to give free health care for every chaleri in the country, but a nice Jewish guy who wouldn't harm a fly. He's got a mouth, and he's smarter than all of them, so he wouldn't harm anybody. He's not dangerous. He has to have bodyguards. His life is in danger from Elizabeth Warren and from Bernie's people. How could that be? So, the terrorist is, it's not real Musar, it's not real Tzedek. And that's why it would bring I don't know what happened in these elections in Israel today. I don't know, I didn't hear anything. But that's what would bring a churban. It brought everywhere it was in the world, socialism was a churban. You know what kind of life that people live in North Korea? What a miserable life those people live in North Korea. China is beginning to climb out only because of all of the capitalism that's going on behind the scenes, not because of communism. There, it's not cooperation. By the communists, it's if this guy gets something, it's on my cheshbon, because there's only a certain pot, right? So if Yanim, if he gets something, it's on my cheshbon. That's what Warren and Sanders want. Everybody should have one pot. That means it's of my cheshbon. He's for my cheshbon. That's not tzedek and mussar. That's a churban. That's not Tanakh. That's not what George Washington and Jefferson, that's not what they had in mind, those choshev people. They didn't have that in mind. What kind of a sick thing is that? But when you have ruach musav et tzedek, it's mechoynes echever v'amischer. Mashu ne'imus b'yachasim ha'nashim, v'shoymer al masu umaten b'muna, and then business is conducted in a way that's erlich, that's right. And business is conducted with laws, rules and regulations, not like the Wild West. Anybody that grew up in communist Russia, if you give them a choice of stealing a penny or making a penny, they'll steal a penny. Because the whole chis that they had in Russia, the only way they survived was by stealing. Because they couldn't survive on the pot, the chelik of the pot, which the guys in the Kremlin, of course, were building themselves palaces. They couldn't survive on the chelik of the pot. So the only way they could survive was what? By all kinds of kunz. That happened a lot in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, in the early years. It's better now than it was. But all kinds of ganavis and gzeilis, because it doesn't work, because it's not musar. Musar is, you work hard, you get what you work for. You're going through a hard time, other people are doing better. If they want to, based upon their own sense of musar, they'll help you. Not free healthcare for everybody. That's not musar. That brings to the Wild West. That's exactly what was going on in Russia. That's exactly what brought to the downfall, bringing to the downfall of Western Europe. Destroyed. Eastern Europe is a long time gone. So Western Europe, finished. Together with the complete and utter collapse of any sense of human dignity, of human decency. That liberalism has brought to. Kein yele ein oruch. There's only a tiny, tiny little marshal. What it's going to be like when everything is the way that it's supposed to be between the neshama and the guf, between kodesh and chol. Kein yele ein oruch kishi yisvas eich lemusil letzedek gam heora atzuma shel nishmas kodesh. Now, the whole marshal we were talking about, America and other places of the world, so that America, where there was a cooperation between the neshama and the guf, between morality and the economy, or the politics and so on, that's a tiny, 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 tiny little marshal of what it's like when there'll be a combination between what? The neshama of Knesset Yisrael, meaning the truth of Torah, together with the guf of the Jewish people. It's only a tiny little marshal. He tensoch or chaye netzach. Nishmas kodesh will pour the light of eternal life. Umashmos chavekes olam. And a meaning, deep meaning that embraces the entire world, that embraces everything. Shetim efa emes besoch chaye chomer. That will be beating, like the pulse that's beating within the life of chomer. That everything will be important. Everything will be significant. Everything will be filled with the light of Torah. With the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of this you only see when you learn Razi Atar, you see in Pnimis Atar. You don't see this when you learn Halacha, when you learn Blat Gemara. This is not in Gemara, this is not in Halacha. Halacha and Gemara dictate how we should behave in the Olam HaChomer. But not how to, it doesn't reveal how everything the Olam HaChomer is illuminated with the light of Torah. It just tells us how to conduct our lives and everything in life according to the rules and regulations of Torah. Obviously, that has a tremendous impact upon a person who lives in that way. It's a tremendous transformative impact upon his life. But it's only in the world of Pnimius Torah do you begin to see the or, that light of Torah, shining out from everything that exists in the Olam HaChomer, in the physical world. Yeah, Moshe.
I'm not I'm not progressive or socialist in any way, but if you went back to the if you went back to the shtetl, the Gabaitztaka, would walk around to all the people who had money, and it was not up to them to be kind and
there was a tax.
There was a tax.
Yeah.
So there was a tax much lower, but there was a tax imposed upon the Gvirim in order to make sure that the Aniyim have.
Correct.
So the progressiveness and socialism is just a much more advanced or
advanced, but much more corrupted. It can work in the shtetl, but it does not. It can't work in a larger. It cannot work in a larger society.
Yeah,
it does not work. The Torah is not. The Torah believes in taxes.
From a Mashiach comes in and says, "Okay, so then in Eretz Yisrael will there not be a demand? First of all, you have to support the base mikdash. We have these taxes that are going to be paid.
No.
That will be all countrywide.
Yofi, said it. Lo yebecha evyon. At that time, poverty will end, and we'll be able to take care of ourselves." And we're not going to need to. I don't know whether or not there'll be a need for taxes. Taxes in and of themselves is not something which is unfair. Taxes in and of themselves, the idea that people are that there's some coercion or force that if you want to live in our country, then we impose upon you a certain requirement to help out people who are less fortunate than you. So we have halachas and hilchas. We have new day also. There's halachas of tzedakah. You have ma'asik sofim and you have halachas of tzedakah. That's also a type of taxation. You know, hilchas tzedakah is a form of taxation. It's hilchas tzedakah. And there's a difference between charity, between tzedakah, and something being a charitable act, as opposed to what the progressives and the liberals are talking about, where it's not a matter of charity. It's not even a responsibility. It's more than a responsibility. It's become almost evil for you to be in a place of greater advantage than someone who's disadvantaged, and it's you're seen as somebody who is successful al cheshbon hasheni. I'm successful on his cheshbon. This guy sits at home and does nothing. I'm not talking about somebody that has tsaras. Somebody that doesn't want to do anything. Doesn't want to work. So, my success itself is selfish. I'm selfish. What do? I work hard. I give charity. I have to take care of this guy that doesn't want to work. Yes, you have to. I have to pay for his insurance. Yes, you have to. Because I'm guilty for being advantaged and he's disadvantaged. By my advantage, he's become disadvantaged. There's so many nafkiminis between that and the shtetl. And by the way, in the shtetl, in a situation where there was something private that the person was going through, he would go speak to the Rav and he would go speak to the Bezin. And it wasn't a cold thing like the internal, you know, the IRS, where a person's dragged off to jail or he gets into trouble or they take away his house or something. It never happened. It never happened in Yiddishkeit, anything like that. It never, ever happened such a thing. There's always a conversation with the dying or the Rav or the Bezin, what's going on. This is not so long ago. When my father grew up, they had a kehila, and my father said they had to help the poor people get matzahs. And there was a tax that the families gave and that they would... You know, there was a mahalach of how they figured out, and it wasn't something which was enforced, but there was something that was required. But when you look if you look in Choshen Mishpat, then you see that there were takanas of the kehilas of how Jews had to participate in the kehila. There's certainly that's based upon the absolute truth of Torah. There's no question about it. But the perversion of socialism, of communism, and these progressives and liberals is that going back to the marshal of the two trees in the field, like there's a pot, and if I'm matzliach, it means I'm taking more from the pot that's coming to me. I worked for 50 years building up this business, right? And this guy sits around, you know, making barbecues in the parking lot or something. Of City Field on a Sunday. I don't know what he does, and he doesn't work, or he just sits around and does nothing. So I have to give a chelik from my, that's tzedakah. Said tzedakah.
Maybe I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to be mevara the inyan. To mevara the inyan. Yeah, you either.
Does that mean that we believe more in like capitalism, that people have more
money, absolutely,
more power?
We believe in a subtle, in a more, in a capitalism that is tempered by hilchas tzedakah and by all of the dinim ben al machaveiro, but certainly a healthy economy that's built upon capitalism and hard work. It's not even a question. I had a professor in YU, you know, he passed away. He was also a Rav in Flatbush. His name was Dr. Aaron Levine. He was also an economics teacher. He wrote a couple of very important, there are some very important books written on the subject of economics and Torah, and with this exact same discussion of what is the Torah's view of how a modern society should exist. You know, what is the model, capitalism, socialism, what is the healthy model of the Torah and halacha vis-a-vis the economy. So it's a tempered type of it. It's not a selfish capitalism that's run away with itself, but it's a type of capitalism. It's a soft capitalism, a gentle capitalism, with very strong expectations of tzedakah, and built upon the sidus of Yosher.
Capitalism without corruption.
Yeah, which until Mashiach comes can't be perfect, but it has succeeded better than anything else in history. Monarchism was like, which is most of history, were these crazy despotic monarchs and dictators, and so that mahalach only worked out for a couple of chavra, who were always killing each other to get everything, and the rest of the oilam was like shlubs, mamish shlubs. So they were constantly fighting the king's wars and killing each other and trying to hide some of the loot that they would get during a war. They tried to put into their pockets so they could be caught, they'd be hanged, because they had to go to the king. That was most of history. Democracy is not the way of Torah either. It's not democracy. It's the way that it's understood here. It's also not a Torah hashkafa, democracy. It's closer than other things have been in the past, but it's also not Torah. It's not all men are not created equal. The whole thing, the whole basis of it is not emes. But it's definitely a step forward, and it's definitely led to people being able to live much healthier and better lives. But the ikkah here that the Chaban is explaining is how even in the world bechlal, you see that there's a relationship between the neshama and the guf. Between Musa, Tzedek, and success in the physical world. That's the Mitzvahs. When people are successful, they're doing well. They're cooperating with each other. They're helping each other. They're improving the society. They're making improvements in the culture, and everything thrives when there's a relationship between the neshama and the guf. When it's complete goof and gashmi, it's just selfish. America is not a selfish country. The Americans are very, very good people, very generous people. The American people are really generous, good people. And the Europeans are chazerim. Chazerim. And America has succeeded. Europe is so much older, and the whole thing is a mess. The Americans are the most generous people. The kindest people, the best people, right? And there is this. I'm not talking about, you know, we're not talking about Mashiach society, but you understand. But in Golas, among the nations of the world, the American people are all the good people, and that's why the place is only a couple hundred years old, and we have what we have over here, and the rest of the world, what do they have there? What's in Africa? What's in these places? In India and these countries. To go to these places. I mean, I was never there, but I've spoken to people into these places. It's crazy. That's only a tiny, tiny little marshal of what it's going to be like when it will be Nishmas Yisrael beguf Yisrael. That's what he's saying. Kilorak ruach musar tzvich lafia b'chomer. Because the mashal that we're talking about in the world, where you have, like in America, where there's a ruach of musar, together with the chomer, with physical life, that's not the tachlis. The tachlis is elagam neshama. Nishmas Yisrael. The neshama. The meaning, the encounter, the integration of the soul and the guf, of nishmas Yisrael. That's not just some goyish concept of right and wrong. I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's what it is. The Constitution is one of the most important documents in the world, but it's not the Torah Shabbosav, it's not Torah Shabbat. It was based upon Yesodis of Torah, and it's a huge leap forward from what was until then. But Sof Kol Sof, it's not Torah. There were Erlich HaGoyim that were trying to put together a better life for the people here, and they succeeded. They had tremendous success. But it's not, that's only, can you imagine? That's a marshal of Torah, half of dollars. Elagam neshama, chayiv yechida. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayiv yechida, all the levels of the soul, filling the guf of the Jewish people. When I use the word guf, I'm not talking about my body or your body, separate bodies. I'm talking about the body of Am Yisrael, all of Am Yisrael, with Nishmas Yisrael, in our country. What it could build, what it can give birth to, in the entire nation. It'll bind together. Chaklaut means farming. Hamischar v'atasiya means business and industry. El nakudas hakodesh, farming, agriculture, and business. And industry, everything will be bound together. El nekudas hakodesh, ba'otzer Rama Musa, to the nekuda of kedusha and all of its exaltedness. El beis hamikdash, to the beis hamikdash, which Chazal say all the brachas of the world come from the beis hamikdash. El beis hamikdash, the beis hamikdash is not just a place that's concerned with a couple of kahanim that walk around in funny clothing the whole day saying all kinds of things, and it's a place where they were shechting animals. You understand? All the brach and gashmis came from the beis hamikdash. It's a place that was flowing with blood. It was a beautiful place, beautiful, physically magnificent place. Everything is bound to the Beis HaMikdash. Habayis HaGodol V'HaKodesh HaShenikra Shema Yisbaruch HaLov B'Yedidus Kodesh Im HaUma. That's the place where Hashem shows His great love and friendship with the Jewish people. Ra'yosos Kashbaruch Hashem's Kala. B'Shvil Kol Elu. And in order for all of this to happen, Tzvichim Onu L'Geshes L'Mayonis HaTorah P'nimis. We must enter into the wellsprings of the inner Torah. Lach soif matmoneha, to penetrate deep into her treasures, ulehiz gadol berucha, and to grow with her ruach. Kol od yeha esek rak b'chelek hanigla, as long as Jews are only learning the revealed Torah, v'atorah pnimis tiheh yevesha, and the inner Torah, the inner light of Torah, of Kabbalah and Hasidus and so on, is neglected and is left to just be dry. No one's busy with it. As I call Oilam HaKodesh Yutzag Rak Bechelko HaMugdar Bedalat Am Shalach. And the whole world of Kedusha is only defined by doing this and don't doing that. Keeping this, this is Muksa, this is not Muksa. This you could pick up, this you can't pick up. Now you can brush your teeth, now you can't brush your teeth. V'chol Tviyosu Mehametzi is Tiyarak Shiyas Chashuvu. And the only relationship between nigla, between halacha and metzias is sheish chashvo, which means that you have to always take halacha into consideration. Am I allowed to brush my teeth on Shabbos? So in other words, I have to know, on Shabbos, am I allowed to use this aspect of physical life, a toothbrush? Which, of course, that's Hilchas Shabbos. You have to know what to do. But if a person doesn't know, what is Shabbos? And what's this malacha? What is this malacha in Pnimius? What's this malacha? We have now from Tal Lechaim three volumes on Hilchas Shabbos, on the Lamentos Malachas. two volumes, I think, two volumes, on the Lamed Tes Malachis. One is on the Nigla of the, it's not all Lamed Tes Malachis, but on the Nigla, on the Halachis, all kinds of interesting Chakirs and Lamedes. And then each Malacha, what in Pnimius HaTorah, what is the Inyan of what? What's the Inyan of Boira? What's the Inyan of Merakid? What's the Inyan of Zareya, of Kaitzer? What does it mean, Kaitzer? Cutting. You can't cut things on Shabbos. What does that mean? So Halacha defines what it means as far as whether you're allowed to tear this, you can't tear it. Whether you could pick this up or you can't pick this thing up. That's what it means. She's chashuvo. So you have to take the physical world into consideration, and you have to understand halacha, and to know what halacha allows and doesn't allow. Lav shelo l'kiyim Torah mitzvos, because you have to be able to keep Torah mitzvos. So you can't have a pair of tefillin if you don't know how to get the tefillin from the animal, the skin and the parchment, whatever. If you don't know how to do that, you can't have a tefillin. But still, halacha does not mean that you're living in an awareness of that reality of neshama beguf. You're not living in that awareness. You just have to know when, how, and so on. But you're not living in that or. Zeu chelak mahusim imasher inu kaidim. This is what we're talking about. That in order for the ruach of the Jewish people to materialize in this world, it depends on being Isaac and Rosei Torah, learning secrets of Torah. Because only in Pnimius Torah, and it's, tonight, what Yom Tov is tonight? Tonight's Chayelu. Tonight is Chayel. That's exactly what it's the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal Tanya, and it's the Yahrzeit of the Maharal. And what were those Tzaddikim talking? What was the whole inyan of those Tzaddikim? The whole inyan of those Tzaddikim of Chayel. When is something alive? Neshama Beguf. I don't have to explain it. You understand what that means. That's all that we're talking about. Neshama Beguf. When there's an Ichud and a Chibur between the Guf and the Neshama, that's the inyan of Chayel. To be alive. Chayel means Neshama Beguf. It doesn't mean two separate things. Ben a kodesh v'achol, ben olam hazev, olam haba, the two worlds together. Rak mikoychem a kodesh mezgala b'yofyo. And only that, only by the strength of them being together, is the kodesh, is that which is holy, truly revealed in all of its beauty. Lo kima ayeim alachol b'shechlul. It's not that Torah and mitzvahs is threatening physical life. It's threatening, you can't make a living. You can't. You have to just sit in the midst of it. It's not a threat. Ela adrabba, kamisha ma'aricha v'yadeh l'romamo. Adrabba. Kodesh is not threatening chol. Kodesh respects chol. And Kodesh sees, Kodesh, kamisha ma'aricha v'yadeh l'romamo. Kodesh says, I can help you, chol. I can lift up what you're doing for a living. I can lift it up in your life in such a way that you'll find meaning in everything that you're doing. I'm not coming to take away from your panasa. I'm coming to show you how your panasa is beautiful, is amazing. I'm coming to show you how what you do for a living is unbelievable. It's mamish, bringing the Or of Hashem into the world. Not like what you have now. Oh, you're going to make a living? You're against Torah, especially in Eretz Yisrael. You're anti-Torah because you're working. What is that? That comes from only learning Nigla, not from learning Pnimius HaTorah. In Rosei HaTorah, there's no such thing like that. In Rosei HaTorah, each world respects the other world. Olam Hazel, Olam Haba, Olam. The Guf and the Neshama, they live with great, tremendous mutual respect. Each one says, how can I help you? I'm here to help you. The Neshama says to the Guf, I'm here to help you. The Guf says to the Neshama, I'm here to help you. Kodesh and Chol are here to help each other. V'kach shememamkoi shememkamoi b'kovah godol ki bitui lenetzach netzachim. Each one focuses on the great covet of the other as an expression of something which is eternal. Work is something which has a tremendous deep meaning. Hamagalim b'maisias or hagadol, all which brings about to reveal the great light of Hashem, the great light of Torah in the world. Okay, Mr. Shem will continue next day of Shabbos. Yeah.